Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not America's sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Totally discredited. And by the way,
well, wait, he didn't get $3.5 million, Joe?
Mr. Vice,
he got
$3.5 million.
That is not true.
Oh, really,
Mr.
No.
President? It's an open discussion, please.
It's a fact.
You have raised an issue. Let the Vice President answer.
Discredited.
Did Burisma pay him $183,000 a month with no experience in energy?
Mr. President,
my son did nothing wrong at Burisma.
I think he did.
Mr. President,
the only guy that
let him answer.
He doesn't want to let me answer because he knows I have the truth.
Well, we're going to be finding out the truth, it looks like, a bit here as we continue to move forward. Although I will say, social media is at it again, really trying to suppress the sharing of this New York Post story. The New York Post is not like it's not a rag that just, you know, decides to put out any sort of gossip that comes its way. They're going to have some verification processes. They have integrity to maintain. And right now, a lot of people on Twitter experiencing a problem sharing the tweet that includes the New York Post article that has just come out today, followed up in many capacities here by all the main, well, I don't know about all of them. We should do that. Ryan, can you do that real quick? Can you kind of look around the internet at some of the other media outlets and maybe collect some headlines that might exist in the CNNs and the MSNBCs and the Politicos of the world to see how they're covering this news about Hunter Biden? Now, we've been talking about Hunter Biden for some time. You know, when it really started to become a big deal, when they were impeaching the president for having an inappropriate relationship with Ukraine. Do you remember that? Do you remember the way that they were trying to, Adam Schiff was trying to paint the relationship that President Trump had with the president of Ukraine? It starts with a Z or something like that. President.
Yeah. Zelensky.
Zelensky. Yeah, that's right. I think, you know, the entire orchestrated event was based on leaks pretty much by Adam Schiff and orchestrated by the other individuals, some of the other individuals who had testified at that process, but trying to paint some sort of inappropriate relationship that didn't have America's best interests at heart. It had Trump's best interests at heart. That turned into an impeachment in the House of Representatives and a vote in support of the president in the Senate. Now we have actual information here regarding a laptop that was taken in for a repair that was never picked up in 2019. That was Hunter Biden's laptop. It's got photos of him, and I'm seeing some of these photos because Katie's like, you got to see these photos. So we're looking at them, and they're not flattering photos, but I mean, are they incriminating photos? Only if you're, you know, against drug use. But we are starting to see the actual connections that existed with Hunter Biden, who at the time was the son of the vice president of the United States, his relationship as an employee of Burisma, which is an energy company, and how Burisma was working with Ukraine. And when Burisma started to get investigated by a prosecutor in Ukraine, Joe Biden somehow or another got in the mix and demanded the firing of the prosecutor. And you know what? After the vice president demanded it, you can hear it in his own words. He brags about it. He ends up firing, the Ukraine ends up firing the prosecutor that Joe Biden demanded would be fired. And why would they do that? Why would they be so willing to do what Joe Biden said? Why would they be willing to fire their prosecutor who was looking into Burisma if Joe Biden demands it? Well, for some reason, right after they fired him, they got $1 billion in loan guarantees from the United States, which the vice president also has said was part of the deal. So right now on Fox News, the main headline is investigation underway. There's a picture of Capitol Hill and Hunter Biden there. And the headline is, so if you're just breezing over the headlines, because this is what most people do, folks, you're not reading the sixth and seventh paragraphs in these stories. The headline here says, Senate probing newly emerged emails purport to show Hunter Biden linking VP dad to Ukraine exec. Of course, that VP dad is the Democratic candidate for president of the United States. There's also a couple of thumbs here. It says Biden responds, former VP's campaign issues denial, suggests new allegations bogus. And then another one, slamming the brakes, Facebook reducing distribution of report on purported Hunter Biden emails. When I see that social media is throttling this back, it makes me even more concerned that what might be there is actually true. And a lot of people on Capitol Hill right now tweeting about how ridiculous this is. The biggest one that I've read here today, which I thought was, I'm like, yes, yes, this is why people like you and me, and whether you're a very actively political minded person, or if you're just somebody who is, you know, a fan of conservative values, and you want to see this country not go into a socialism spiral. Ari Fleischer, Daily Caller, Ari Fleischer responding to this tweet on Twitter from the Daily Caller. This is insane. Twitter and Facebook are both censoring a story unflattering to the Democratic nominee for president. Ari Fleischer responds, someone remind me, did Twitter and Facebook block postings about the Steele dossier, which was a unverified and turned out to be biased or based on information from a suspected Russian agent? The entire Steele dossier has been proven to be abhorrently false. And it came out really right about this time in 2016, because the only purpose, whether it was true or not, it wouldn't matter if it was untrue, because Hillary Clinton would therefore win because of it. And then the investigations would go the way these kinds of investigations would go, which we are finding out more and more about how these FBI investigations would go. It's the control of information. Whether or not this makes Hunter Biden the biggest POS that's walking the face of the earth, or it shows that he's kind of a privileged, trust fund baby who has a drug problem, and there's some photos of him doing it, and which to me is actually sad, not necessarily directly just terrible for the country. Which is it? Can we just have the truth? And if you have social media and media outlets controlling the flow of this information to take the facts as they know them, and then put them in front of you in a way that is beneficial to them, we have a huge problem. I don't know what the other outlets are saying right now, but Ryan's been looking at it. So let's. What do we have here?
Well, the big left-leaning ones are completely avoiding it, apparently, because there's very little out there. But the far left who just want to shape opinion, which I guess that's what the big ones are doing too. But here's from Vox. It says, Trump team tries to use purported Hunter Biden emails to help re-election efforts, as in this is just Trump doing it. It's don't worry about it. The Daily Beast, Donald, Rudy, and Rupert's dubious October surprise reeks of desperation. Let's see. One actual story here from Bloomberg says Biden campaign denies meeting with Burisma official for son. So
which outlet is that?
That's Bloomberg. That's reporting it from Biden's side, though, obviously. They're reporting it as if you've already read the New York Post. And the worst headline is the one that you were already talking about, CNET, which just follows digital stuff, basically, says Facebook and Twitter are limiting the reach of the New York Post article about Hunter Biden.
Hmm. You know, isn't it crazy how they never talk about the merits of what's been reported? There's no discussion about whether or not it's true, which I guess is probably the most consistent thing that they have regarding the Steele dossier. It's just like, here it is, throw it out there, and whether or not this is true is very unimportant. When it comes to things that are not helpful to their cause, they report on the reporting of it. It's the story is not the actual facts of the story. The story becomes how Republicans are reacting to the story. Therefore, they never even have to weigh in on what is being discussed. They never have to ask themselves the question, is it possible? Like, think of this. Oh, gosh, this is just so frustrating. The entire time that Donald Trump has been president, and the months, probably 6 to 8 months, if not more, leading into his presidency, leading into Election Day, we have been told that he cares more about himself and is willing to work with foreign governments to benefit himself. The entire time, without exception. The entire foundation of Donald Trump's presidency has been predicated on the idea that he worked with Vladimir Putin in Russia to benefit himself and to screw the American people. There has not been a day where Donald Trump has been President Donald Trump, where that hasn't been the overarching story as to how he got there. And the truth of it is, it's all baloney sausage. It's all crap. But it was never important whether it was true or not. The importance was sowing enough frustration and enough disdain in the American people where they could see the headline pop up enough. There's another headline about Donald Trump. There's another headline about Donald Trump and Putin. There's another headline about Donald Trump and Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. And then you've got Hillary Clinton, who miserably lost in 2016. She writes a book and she says, what happened? And then she goes into this book and explains the entire love affair between Donald Trump and Russia and how awful it is. She contrived the whole damn thing from the very beginning. She knows the story better than anybody does because it's her story. Hillary Clinton knew from the very beginning what needed to happen in order to smear the name Donald Trump, to make sure that he was never trustworthy, to make sure that he never got a fair shake, to fail completely on his own regard, or to succeed with the conservative policies that would be the most detrimental to people like Hillary Clinton, socialism light that could guide us into a furtherly progressive kind of country. And you know why? Do you know why Hillary Clinton would be so invested in progressive policies? It's not because she thinks it's better for the country. In a democratically controlled government, in a democratically controlled country, in a vastly progressive kind of government structure, which used to asked itself, what's the difference between a Democrat and a socialist? Then it turned into democratic socialism, and now socialism is just okay. It's just a way of life. It's just a way of looking at things. Why would somebody like Hillary Clinton or Joe Biden, why would they want to lead this country in a way that is so progressive that it is welcoming, warmly welcoming to socialism? It's because it takes the power away from you, and it gives it to them. The idea of some sort of republic, conservative, capitalistic society rests its power in you, where you get to choose what happens. You get to make decisions about what goes forward and what doesn't. You get to send people into government who are going to make sure that they keep that structure as close to the American people as possible. Put the Democrats in charge, who want to exact socialism. You know, they put the word Democrat in front of it like it's supposed to comfort us. It's kind of ridiculous. They want to invoke democratic socialism into this country, not because of some altruistic, kind-hearted effort to try to make sure that the poor are less poor and the rich actually finally get what's coming to them. They don't give a crap about that. And if you have any questions about that, if you're doubting me in any instance about this, look at every massively Democratic-controlled large city across this country. Look at St. Louis. When was St. Louis different? Look at Chicago. When was Chicago different? Baltimore, Seattle, San Francisco. They're terrible with the impoverished nature, the homeless problem, the drug problems, the violence. They don't care about people. They don't care about you. They don't care about the people who are less fortunate than you. They sure as hell don't care about the people who are less fortunate than themselves. What they get with their progressive, leftist, socialist tendencies is power. That's what happened, Hillary. And I think we have more evidence in today's news drop about collusion with a foreign country to benefit a politician personally with the Biden family than we've ever had, even in the midst of collecting everything that we've found out in 4 years of investigating this against Donald Trump. There is a candidate running for office right now who cares more about himself and the benefits to his family than he cares about the American people, and it is not Donald Trump. And now Facebook and Twitter don't want you to know about it. And if we had another Steele dossier come out right now, they'd be all over it. And every celebrity out there who wanted to feel good about themselves and feel like they really did something today would be sharing it and saying how much they're literally shaking. Nobody's literally shaking. I want to literally shake some sense into you. I don't think I can do that. I think I get in trouble. I'm frustrated.
Long story short,
socialism sucks. Gosh, people, why do I have to try to be like so impassioned about this? It just be obvious. It's like a bumper sticker. It just need two words.
You're frustrated because there's terrible things going on and people in power are trying to hide them.
Yeah.
That's not a bad thing to be frustrated
so
about.
So they can consolidate and maintain their own power. It's terrible. Wake up, America. Oh my God, vote Trump. Find two people who aren't going to vote. Have them listen to the show. I will talk to them personally. I'm serious. If you've got somebody who you think you can persuade common sense to, message the Facebook page. We will have a real conversation. I'll be right back.
Senator Whitehouse, I will approach every case with an open mind.
I like wine.
Senator Whitehouse, I will approach every case with an open mind.
You couldn't say it better than that. Oh my gosh, it made me laugh so hard when I heard that the first time. And then apparently later on, I don't know who she was talking to. It's been on Twitter quite a few times that somebody said, like, I hope that you got some rest last night. And she's like, I've got to admit, I did have a glass of wine last night. So I think she actually had wine on her brain.
Yes.
I don't know that was a Freudian as I first thought it was.
Senator, I will approach every question from the bench with a good deal of Mary Jane. I mean an open mind.
Oh, man, I got to be careful. We're just... I mean, seriously, I needed to breathe there a little bit more than I care to admit. Real talk with you right now. This is physically anxious for me. Going into this election, like, I physically feel it. And I'm a firm believer in if I work hard enough, and I spend enough time with it, I'll find the answer to what I'm looking for. Like, the answer is out there. Like, I feel like on a web page somewhere on the internet is the results of the election. And I just got to look for it. What should I Google? DuckDuckGo, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I know that it's not there. It is out of my control. I am, say, a little bit of a control freak. I'm just super type A. Shut up, Katie. Stop laughing. No. Why are you laughing? Why did you put your head into your hands?
No reason.
I will say that coming from a strong line of women, I am not type A. I am type AAA. And that I will genetically blame that on somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Oops, mm-hmm. I just popped my mic there laughing.
I mean... It is heavy for me. I think, and I know that if it's heavy for me, it's heavy for you. And I know that if you're worried, there's just so much at stake. Ryan and Katie and I were talking on a break, or maybe during one of the questionings that we put up there. When you consider post-election what Donald Trump is capable of when he doesn't have another election in front of him, my mind is exploding thinking about what could be coming forward. What we know about what was done to him during the 2016 campaign. What we know about what these individuals on Capitol Hill have continued to try to do to him, what the media has tried to do to him, whether he wins or loses, he will beat or defeat the mainstream media. If people were telling even an ounce of the truth of what this president has done in these 4 years, it would be the biggest shoo-in in history. I'm talking Mondale-level victory. He has done so much to right the ship, to put America first in a way that helps America help more people. Folks, if you have your home budget, like, let's bring this not from the global financial economic impact of what America is or isn't to the rest of the world. Let's bring it down to the checkbook in your house. And I'm talking to a certain demographic of you because, Katie, do you keep a checkbook? I bet you do.
I do not. I did once upon a time, probably last year.
And then why would you? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, folks. I might be the cutoff of that. Ryan, checkbook or no?
Yeah, checkbook.
Really?
Yeah, I do it.
Dang.
Do you let your wife spend money?
No.
No.
She has her budget. I don't ask questions about her budget, but
you gave her a budget? Don't tell me you gave her.
That's correct.
Yeah, I do. She's cheap.
Mrs. Wiggins, I will give you my personal cell phone number.
Yeah, go ahead, Katie. You can call Annie and she can give you more money. That's fine.
You're not, hey, that woman is employed and she has her own money. Regardless, when you bring it down to your own personal budget, are you able to help more people when you have your fiscal house in order? Who's entitled to the money that you make? In Illinois, I'm sad to say that a lot of people feel entitled to the money that you make because of the way that the government is run here. Who is entitled into what portion of what you are making to try to build for your family? And if you are working your tail off and you are having some level of upper middle class success in your life, are you entitled to less of that because somebody else has less than you? Who determines that? I mean, honestly, you do on November 3rd. You get a say in that. You could vote your way into socialism. You'll have to shoot your way out. The idea that you are working hard in this country to provide the life for you that you want is not a selfish understanding of the way life goes. When you have your house in order, you are able to help more people. You are able to measure your generosity based on what you have been blessed with. And usually, blessing other people returns blessings back to you. And if you can bless more people when you've put your fiscal house in order, and you don't put your family last, you take care of the food that needs to be on the table, the diapers that need to be on the baby butts, and the cleaning that needs to be done in the house. You put the gas in the car so you can go to work. When you take care of those things for yourself, you empower yourself to be more generous. The way to help other people isn't only through taxes. And the matter of fact is that politicians line themselves up to take a penny out of the pot before it ever gets to the person who they're selling you on helping. Higher taxes is the laziest way to be charitable. And the Democratic Party and these wealthy, exorbitantly wealthy athletes and Hollywood celebrities and musicians who want to tell you about how you need to be compassionate to other people, how you need to be generous with other people, and how big bad businessman Trump is going to take, you know, everything away from the poor people and he only wants to help the wealthy. Do you know who employs the not wealthy? Wealthy people. And do you know what people get to do with the money they make at their middle class jobs? You know what they get to do with that money? Whatever the hell they want to. They can blow it, they can invest it, they can save it, they can spend it. It's up to them. You get people who are in Hollywood, who are these LeBron James-style athletes. If you forgot about him, he's an NBA player. I know nobody watched. You get people who have so much money. What is more taxes to them? I honestly feel at times that they have guilt over the amount of wealth that they have. And they know that when you say, well, higher taxes, tax the rich, first of all, it puts them in an elite status that I'm sure that they love. They're so wealthy, they can afford to pay more. And then they talk about all the people who are going to be helped with it. Do you know, King James? Do you know, sir, that that money doesn't have to go to the state of California or Washington, D.C., or wherever he lives right now, do you know that it doesn't have to go there to help anyone? And do you realize how many more people you could help if you just went straight to the problem? But instead, you peddle the influence of people who want to spend more money that they haven't earned. They have to take it from somewhere before they can give it to the people who need it, who can actually be benefited by it. And it gets it's like the taxed dollars get taxed, and they get taxed by the lobbyists, the wealthy connected people, the politicians. I mean, man, if you want to know what it's like to have a, what's an appropriate word for this? You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Would that be a quid pro quo?
Inappropriate phrase that would really illustrate this perfectly for me, but would go against the PG rating that I gave myself earlier in the show. In the state of Illinois, where previously they force, you know, public workers to pay those union dues, and then those union dues would go to politically lobby, and you know, the unions would work to subsidize the campaigns of Democratic politicians who would then get into office and promise to never, ever, ever do anything to hurt a public worker pension, oh, except for actually fund it. There's always another tax dollar they can take. And the only person left out of that constant circle that goes around where everybody gets what they need is you, the taxpayer. And guess what? You, the taxpayer, you might be a public worker. You might be a teacher. You might be somebody who works for the municipal building or the city or the state. You might be one of those people, but you're also a taxpayer. And you know who always gets fed? The unions, those public unions. And the politicians keep getting elected because they keep giving the unions what they want, who continue to keep getting the politicians elected, who keep giving the unions what they want. And in the midst of it, you have an enormous economic crisis in the state of Illinois where the taxpayer is left out. And the only way that they can make this functionally work with threat of a 20% increase in your state taxes, if you don't do what they say and pass the progressive income tax, the only way that this can possibly get better is if you say yes to what they have the balls to call a fair tax. And then when they implement it, it's only going to raise taxes on the wealthy people like J.B. Pritzker. Put the money in the pot without having to be taxed for it first. Oh, yeah, right after you put the toilets back in the tax-evading mansion that you didn't want to pay property taxes on, so you knew how to loop the system. You're the worst part of what you advocate against. The absolute worst part. You're a liar and everybody knows it. It's a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. The worst kind of thing to be. And in the meantime, all of these wealthy people are trying to sell you on some sort of lazy man's charity, like you're going to vote for higher taxes and feel good about yourself. Until the jobs go away. Until you lose the opportunity because somebody's told you have to stay in your house and you can't, you're non-essential. It's pretty essential to pay your electric bill, isn't it? It's pretty essential to be able to keep the 4 employees that you've been happy to employ for the last 15 years of your life at your small business. It's pretty essential, isn't it, to keep that afloat? Maybe, maybe not. I guess it depends on who you elect as your governor, and it sure as hell depends on who you elect as your president. I am exhausted by this. We were talking on the break before about me. Tell me, Facebook message the show. If you've got somebody who would actually talk to me, I will talk to them about who they should vote for if they are unsure. I don't want to talk to people who are staunch on one side or the other. They know what they're doing. But if you have someone who could actually be persuaded, talk to me. Maybe I can talk to them. Katie's got an anonymous story she's going to tell us about somebody who somehow got exposed to our show. I don't know how that happened. It's a great story. Katie's going to tell us that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. I've never been a cheerleader before, but I'd put on a skirt for the right thing to happen in November and rah-rah myself wherever I need to be, whatever I need to do. There's so much at stake. Holy cow, like it's so frustrating to know that the uninformed are what could possibly you know, everyone's like, everybody go out and vote. I'm like, would you just make sure that if you vote, you've looked into it a little bit. Please don't go based on what Cardi freaking B tells you to. Can't handle it.
I don't know, Annie. I think I just said that I think that's going to backfire, the whole vote, vote, vote from celebrities thing. We know that people are about twice as likely to vote, or at least twice as enthusiastic to vote for Trump as they are Biden. So the whole register, register, register thing, I think that could backfire.
96% of the Republican Party likes what Donald Trump is doing. That's the last number I heard. It's never lower than 93%. 3, 4, 5% or whatever. He's got the full support of his base. And I believe I remember it. Historically speaking, there's never been an incumbent who has had this level of support from their own base that has lost a re-election.
But it's 2020, so...
Shoot! So...
Who knows?
Watch Put your that into account. Mouth.
No, I'm optimistic about this. I think I'm more so than you probably are, but I'm very optimistic.
Does it matter that I'm just naturally very... I say realistic. My husband says, no, you're a pessimist.
That has a part to play.
I would rather be wrong and pleasantly surprised than be wrong and like have to suffer being wrong, but also having the worst case scenario of said situation come about.
Yeah,
if it goes bad, I want to at least be able to say, see, I told you, which is incredibly selfish.
Yeah.
It's like a psychological problem that I have.
You should, if you live optimistically though, then you can be happy most of the time and then just go through just periods of crushing depression every now and then. So
sounds like
I'm
fun.
More of a level girl where it just needs, you know, the highs don't need to get too high, the lows don't need to get too low. But, you know, we talk on the show, we cover the issues, we also talk about fun, silly things from time to time. Dance parties at the Senate confirmation hearings, which Mazie Hirono is up. I wonder what kind of dancer she is. Katie, you were talking about somebody who had been exposed to our show.
Yeah, I have one of my very best friends who has... She's very apolitical. She's never really invested time into reading into the political parties, really knowing the difference between both of them. And I think that that's probably a lot of people my age. And we were just having a couple of discussions about this year and how important it is. And she's never voted before. And since she's one of my best friends, she listens to this show. And
hi.
Hello. And after a little bit of time listening to the show and some discussions that we have in our personal life, she decided to register to vote, and she will be voting for Trump this year. And it was a very hush-hush thing that happened. She didn't want people to know, and here I am telling thousands of people, not going to say who it is. But when she told me that she was going to do this, it was like a whisper, like, and by the way, you know who I'm voting for. I'm going to vote for Trump. And...
It always is.
It was just and you know,
it's
we
just
have
like how people talk about Wiggins.
And I think
that's right.
What makes me happy is that
I'm this generation's Trump, basically.
Yes, yes. What makes me happy is that she could confide in me and that she felt like she could trust me with something like that.
Yeah.
In that same vein, though, I'm like, that's where we are. People who vote for Trump, especially people 26, 27, 28, if you say that you're going to vote for Trump, it better be a whisper because you're going to be attacked from all sides, and it's just crazy. It was just a crazy moment for me.
What if it wasn't a whisper? If you are a 20 something and you are listening to the show right now and you support this president and you're willing to talk to me about it, will you please message the Facebook page? I have ideas and a limited amount of spare time, but if I have spare time, it will be filled. I just, you know, it's so maddening that it's got to be a whisper, that it's got to be a secret. I mean, Ryan, how do you feel when everybody only wants to whisper to me that they like you? Nobody's ever like, I love that Wiggins. They're like, Annie, I love your show. I listen all the time. And Wiggins isn't that bad.
Well, except for Albert.
Look,
that's
yeah.
true. But
look,
Albert's a super
fan. Forget about Albert for a second. I don't care. And this, you can take this to the election, too. I don't care if they whisper it, as long as they're saying it somehow. Mm. Like, if they hated me and they were whispering that to you, I wouldn't enjoy that. If they hated me and they were yelling it, I would really not like it. But as long as they like, it's fine. It's all going to be fine.
And, you know, I think that, especially with the way we inherited you, Ryan, although I did request that to be the case, we didn't inherit it.
That's breaking news.
The wrong way. Well, I didn't want you to know.
It only took a year.
Yeah, and I might be lying. But what... I want people to know that if you were created to be a character elsewhere, I want people to know that you, like, I Ryan, you can vouch for this. When you came on the show and we had the meeting, I said, I don't want you to be a Wiggins character. I want people to listen to what you have to say and value what you have to say. And if you make people laugh along the way, or if you say funny things or do silly things, that's totally welcome. But don't come onto the show to be a stooge, because that's not why we're here. And I think that it's funny to me that how many people actually do appreciate what you have to say and what you have to contribute to the show. But it's just kind of, you know, the whereabouts of where you've been on 97.1 and on this show too, that people really do like you, and that they also don't want other people to know until they realize that other people don't want other people to know. And then it's a fun secret to be in on.
To hear that there are people who have been surprised that I have some intellectual capacity. I do know that you have been surprised by how stupid I actually am, too. So it's kind of goes both ways, doesn't it?
Annie, can I read you some of these comments that we're getting right now? I don't know if you've seen them yet.
Yeah,
they're
on
the Facebook page.
Go for it.
Kenny, he says, I'm 27, a college professor, and unequivocally support POTUS. I don't necessarily like his demeanor, but those who actually know his policy would be pleasantly surprised at how awesome they are for all sides.
That's awesome.
We have another one. Austin says, hi, Annie. I'm 25. I'm from Illinois, and I'm going to vote for Trump, and I'm willing to talk about it with you at some point.
25.
Jake, 23.
Are these all messages to the Facebook page?
Yep, we're getting them right now.
You need to continue. Folks, if you're a millennial, I'll expand it to people who are older than 20s. But if you're a millennial, let's talk. Message the Facebook page. Go ahead, Katie.
Jake, 23, and I'm a massive fan. I'm not a massive fan of Trump, but I respect him as a president, and I'd rather have him over Biden. We have, let's see. Oh, I got a friend that just messaged the show. Danny. Hi, Danny. I listen to the show. I'm 28 years old. I'm voting for Trump. As you can tell by my profile picture, I'm a very I'm very private about it. Yeah. Hi, Danny. Thank you for listening. 37, Brandon. I'm 37 years old, and I'm voting for Trump. So these are all brand new messages after you just called out for people to contact us that said they're up.
Real quick, there's one from Dominic here, too, on not a direct message. It's just posted. It says, being a 22-year-old Trump supporter is outrageously difficult. There's no discussing politics with friends of the same age. I know better than that.
That sucks. Because Dominic, and I'm not asking you to do anything that's going to like cost you hardship in your life, because I respect that. I get that. But what if there's another Dominic out there that's just afraid to speak up? And what if there's somebody who could hear two Dominics and go, well, why do you believe that? Like, I thought you were cool, you know, like that idea of, I thought I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
How could the support of one man who is so incredibly, starkly different than the alternative? There is no crossover between what a Joe Biden presidency and a Donald Trump presidency are going to offer. There isn't. It couldn't be more different of a choice. So if you have the opportunity to expose somebody who knows you and who likes you, and to say, you know, I just think that it's important that you understand what a real Trump supporter looks like, because so much of what people think about Trump supporters is what the other side has told them. It's great marketing. They're really good at it. And they have the biggest microphones and the brightest cameras, putting people with the shiniest smiles up on television every day defending it. It legitimately is going to be a grassroots effort to beat Joe Biden. And it was a grassroots effort to beat Hillary Clinton. And it's going to have to happen again. And you know, what I'm asking you to do, and if you're a member of the Illinois Rising Facebook page, where we focus solely and specifically on trying to revive Illinois and bring it back to some sort of common sense, you can register in Illinois online to vote. And you can register on election day to vote. I'm serious about this. Real homework. I've never assigned homework, and I'm going to assign it to myself first and ask all of you to join me in this. Think of three people who maybe don't like politics, who are maybe turned off about all of it, who you care about enough to discuss this issue with, and just ask them if they're going to vote. And ask them if they'd be willing to listen to something that's an alternative to what they hear everywhere else, and then talk to them. I'll talk to him. Message the Facebook page. I would love to. Thank you so much for listening today. More coverage of the hearings tomorrow, which will be the last day of it. They'll wrap it up. We appreciate you being here each and every day. And the DGS is coming up next. Don't worry. So beat the
drum. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.